Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
That's right. It's time to pour that coffee and curl up on the couch with Lou to get your tips for fixing up the house this weekend. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning.
7:12 in the morning. Good morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, Rogers Roofing, and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning to Veronica. Good morning to Sam. Nice to see you both today. Sam, this has got to be a lot of fun for you. Oh, and Lindsay.
What am I?
The problem is I talk to you so much in the morning that I forget that I got to say good morning. Good morning. You like the Olympics, Sam?
Really? If we're being honest, it comes around every 2 years.
Yeah.
And when it's here, you watch it. When it's gone, you don't really miss it.
Hmm.
That's how I feel. What about you?
I like it. I in particular like the events that aren't prime time. I was watching men's boxing on one of the stations, and I watched a little bit of that. And then I watched, did you see the lady, the U.S. shot putter? The woman got some new world record, and her father was a bronze medalist, like in 84 or something like that. It's cool. That's cool.
Have you watched the handball?
No.
Handball is pretty fun.
No. I was watching with the kids last night, Quinn and Carmen a little bit. There was a track, women's races, and I said, here they took off, right? And these women are just flying down the whatever the race they were running. And then there's one woman who is dead last. I mean, she is dead last. And I'm thinking, man, that woman is the fastest woman in her country, okay, whatever country she was from. And she just gets blown out. Like, Lindsay, you're going to run the 500 meter or whatever it is, and you're going to be like, yeah! And this woman, it's like she lapped you.
So Katie Ledecky won the gold in the 800 freestyle. She broke a world record.
Who's amazing.
The last place swimmer, though, in that heat finished 23 seconds after she touched the wall.
Oh. Wow.
23 seconds after she won, the last place swimmer finally.
Hey, don't forget to jump in the pool. Yeah. Jump in. Come on.
In fact, the final shot is the camera pan from left to right to the final wall. Ledecky was the only swimmer in the shot. That's how big her lead was.
Wow.
But you know what? That last place swimmer was faster than you and I are.
Oh, probably. Oh, my God. I couldn't drive a boat that fast.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, but that's what I mean. It's just the competition is amazing. And that Katie Ledecky, the fact that she's 19, she's kind of an old soul, though, when you look at her. Mm. She doesn't look 19. She looks more mature. It's cool. I love the swimming. That is something else. Yeah, I like it. Okay, well, don't be such an Olympic hater.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, here's a question, Lou.
Yeah.
Okay, back in our day.
Right.
When we only really had three channels.
Right.
The Olympics were really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because there wasn't anything else. It was like watching the Labor Day telethon. You watched it because you had no other choices.
And there was one station.
It was exciting.
Wait, there was no TiVo or HBO Go or any of that back in the day?
I think back in our day, didn't ABC have it? I think ABC
I do believe
did
they
it
did because there's
for many many years.
Yeah, the only way I would have seen it as a kid is if it were ABC, NBC, or CBS. That's it. That's all we had.
Right. Remember, it was the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, and there was that promo with the guy coming down the ski jump that wipes out midway through and goes flailing all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the name of that famous announcer for ABC that said that? Not Dick.
I don't remember.
Not Dick Ebersol. That he's a famous ABC announcer.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And it's really the only television I watch is a sporting event. You know what I mean? I'm not a. Do you have a TV show or anything you watch?
I watch cooking channels if I watch TV at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was Jim McKay, by the way.
Jim McKay. Thank you. Very good. Very good. The Google.
Yeah. I admit it.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We got a lot coming up today. Our Noodaloo 2, all I'm going to tell you is, it's called a scout cart. All right? That's all I'm going to tell you. Listen to that coming up at 7:50 this morning. Then, I've been thinking a lot about all the work that people have to get done on their homes. And one of the things that I've talked to a lot of people. They're having a hard time finding contractors because people are finally feel the confidence to get work done, spend some money, and getting money out of your house potentially to do some work is important. My wife and I have talked about potentially remodeling our kitchen at our house and the timing of it all, whether we're going to do it. I mean, we still have kids in college, and you know that for all of us, it's a challenge of how you want to do it. But it's our kitchen's now; it's a little tired. It needs a little tune up, and maybe you know we may sell in several years, and so I want to get the timing of it is all important. And when it comes to borrowing against your house, in particular, if you have a lot of equity or even some equity, you've got some choices, whether it's an equity line of credit or a cash out refinance, and there's differences as to why you should do that. So we're going to get an expert from Wintrust, who's going to be on today, to specifically talk about that and other things that they offer, because money is still cheap, and if the timing is right for you, that new kitchen, bathroom, room addition, there's so much going on in our neighborhood with construction, which I love seeing. Only benefits everyone involved. You, because you get a nice new kitchen or a room addition, the bank, because they earn a little interest, and you back at you because you add real value to your home. But you want to make sure that that money that you're using to do it all is the best deal for you. So we're going to learn about that coming up at 8:30 this morning. But right now, we're going to talk to Cliff, who's in Gary. Cliff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Greetings.
How can I help you, sir?
Tell me, I'm putting I'm helping the carpenter put in a 32-inch door in a brick opening on a house, and it's a 6 1/4 jam, and I have the extender on the threshold and stuff to make up because of the thick jam. And the issue is the stoop that we're putting it on is maybe 3/8 to 1/2 inch out. From the inside of the door to the lock set side of the door, it droops maybe as much as 1/2 inch. The building's 60 years old. It has settled. So my question to you is, sir, what do I put underneath the stoop to give it a solid feel?
Okay, so when you say droop, meaning it has a little pitch to it, it's like a piece of limestone?
Yeah, it's a limestone, yes. Stoop, correct.
All right, and so it has a pitch so that if water hits it, it drains away.
It drains to one side. It's not in and out, it's pitch, but left to right.
Oh, okay. And then when you slide the door in with its threshold, there's a gap.
There will be, correct. Yeah.
Okay, now the correct way to do this will take a little bit of carpentry skill, and the... probably the best thing to use would be to go to the lumberyard and buy a short cutoff of some type of synthetic decking, like a chunk of Trex or a piece of Azek, okay, which is a synthetic material that you're then, once you dry fit the door first to see what kind of gap you end up with, you're going to take right. that piece of synthetic material. And you're going to set it on a table saw, and you're going to cut it and shave it to slide in there like a custom-made shim.
Well, I was afraid of that.
Well, this is why good carpenters are a thing to have. When that slides in underneath that threshold, you're gonna line it up so it's flush with the front of the, I assume, an aluminum threshold.
Correct.
And then you're going to caulk all that once it's all set. Now, there's another way to do this. You can chip out that sill and reset the sill so it's dead flat and dead level.
Wow.
So, and, you know, that really requires a chisel to take out the mortar that's holding that sill, really, that if it's one piece, if you chip out the mortar on the sides where it's cut into the brick, you can pull that out, put a small level on it, put new mortar in there, retuck point it all. The thing is, you got to let that dry. If today's the day to do the door, you won't be able to put that door in.
All right. And I have one last question.
Yeah.
The door color is Builder Supply Primer Brown. It's a light brown primer that they sell.
Where'd you get that door?
Builder Supply, Lou.
Lindsay, what's the address of that Builder Supply outlet?
It's 5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview.
Okay, so it's primed.
The only issue is I couldn't get it in white, which would have made my life. Now I got to finish it.
Yeah.
And the carpenter told me I got a red brick house, and this door is light brown, so I have to do something to it. I was told there's a red gel stain I can buy.
What's the door made of?
Fiberglass.
Oh, it's a fiberglass door, so it has a graining to it.
Correct.
Yeah. And you want to stain it or you want to paint it?
Well, I'm looking for guidance. Once again, the door is brown and it's a red brick house.
So do you want to paint the door a color to make it an accent?
It's a back door, and I would like to know more about a gel stain. It strikes me as a lot easier than painting and cutting and wiping.
I'm not a fan of the gel stain because the gel stains have the finish built into it. If you want to stain it, a reddish stain, just get a Minwax reddish stain that you can buy, okay? You're going to tape off any glass. You're going to stain it with a rag, wipe it off, just like you're staining a piece of wood. And when that dries, you're going to do three coats of a spar varnish. You're going to put one coat on that you're going to thin a little bit with mineral spirits, just a little bit. Put that on, knock it down with steel wool, let that dry. Another full coat, actually two coats on the fiberglass. Full coat of spar varnish with a brush over the top of that reddish stain, and it'll look great. But it'll look like a stained door because you're going to see the grain. Thanks so much for the phone call. It is 7:23 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Amy Guth. Saturday nights from 7 to 9 p.m., you're listening to my friend Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Amy, host of the Wintrust Business Lunch on Saturdays. 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with me. And Debbie, who's in Wilmette, whose basement is wet.
Well,
hi,
not the basement.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, for the first time ever, after zillions of years, we have water in the basement that I don't know where it's coming from. It was coming from underneath. It was coming from behind the panel, the wooden paneling. You know, on the floor, and we were just sopping it up. But when I looked outside, the window well seemed dry, it's pitched away from the house. You know, the ground is pitched away from the house. I can't figure out where it's coming from. But my son-in-law peeled the rubber, molding sort of off the bottom of the
paneling,
and it seemed a little bit on the moldy side. So my husband said, I said, I'm going to call a contractor. He said, no, you're going to call Lou Manfredini. I said, okay. So here's
Your husband's name?
Bob.
Oh, Bob and I, we went to school together, remember?
You probably did. He's from Chicago.
I'm kidding. I don't know. Does he spell his name B-O-B?
He does.
Oh, my gosh. That's the same Bob.
I know.
Okay. So where you see this leak, where is that in relationship to the window well? Right next to it, on the same wall?
There's a stretch of paneling in the basement,
right,
underneath the, in a little storage area. So it's coming from underneath there.
No, I understand that. But so where you see the water, where is the window well in relationship to where you see the water?
Generally above it. It's on the...
Okay.
Water was on the floor.
And outside near that window well, is there also a downspout anywhere near there?
Yes, but there's one of those accordion sort of
that
whatever.
Pulls it away.
Yes.
And we are certain that that particular gutter and downspout aren't clogged with this kind of rain. I mean, the thing is that you're telling me that in the billions of years that you've lived there, and you're not that old...
Half a billion.
That you've never gotten water there ever.
Right.
And it's rain. And even though we had a nice rain yesterday, it's rained harder than and longer than what we had yesterday. So something has changed. And my guess is
it's
either that downspout is clogged, or that little accordion thing that you're talking about has come off, or that's clogged. And when we got all this rain, it pooled up in that corner, and that's where the water came from. Now, the moldy thing that we have, we probably need to move that paneling and take that paneling off. Because if you see mold and mildew there, you don't want to leave that there, Debbie, because that's a health issue.
Right.
And then you can pull that away, and if you see evidence of mold, you can use this product called Fog You Mold, okay, that you can get at the hardware store.
Okay.
And spray that all there. But I bet your problem is at that downspout, especially since you said the window well is dry.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
You know, I honestly don't think I've been to a Jameson's steakhouse in a long time, even though I hear Orion talk about all the time. Have they done my idea where they're selling the T-shirts? I love this place. I mean, they should be selling those. People would buy them.
Right up there with the Lindemans.
Yeah, where's my Lindemans? Oh. Hey, I have another Fresh Wave story from a listener.
Let's hear it.
I took Enzo and the Wonder Dog and Flo the Magnificent on a late night walk around the neighborhood last night in the rain, and he got skunked.
So you let your dogs walk next to you without a leash, both of them?
Oh, no, I'm going to get in trouble. Just around the block. It was rainy.
Flo, too?
Yeah.
And they all
because they went
walk.
To 1-800-GOOD-DOG, and they're the greatest behaved dogs ever.
Huh.
Well, first of all, Flo can't stand the when it's stormy. Okay. She's out of her mind.
I know.
She walks very quickly in a storm.
She needs the thunder shirt, or what is that
She
called?
Needs the thunder something. But Enzo could care less. He's, like, going around. And so they stay right by me. But he, I don't know that he got skunked. Or he went into bushes where there was a skunk. You could smell it in our neighborhood.
Oh.
So we get back home, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. He just stinks to high heaven. So I take the Fresh Wave spray, and I spray him. And I go, you're sleeping on the back porch tonight, my friend. Filled up his water bottle. You know, we have a screened-in porch, so it's all covered, even though it's raining. And there's a doggy door. He can go in and out. So I come back inside. It's only 10 o'clock, and Mary Beth says, you got to wash that dog. I'm like, ugh. So I put on a bathing suit and a T-shirt, and I go outside in the rain with the Fresh Wave shampoo. And he's just looking at me like, are you serious? I'm like, hey, you went to the skunk. It's not, I'm the guy that has to pay for this now. So I shampooed him all up, and, you know, he's got that look on his face. And, you know, here I am with the hose in the rain washing this dog. He's a wet dog. He still slept outside. There's still a little bit of residue on there. So this morning at 5:30 when I'm leaving, he looks at me. He's like, I can't believe I had to sleep out here. And I even put a box fan so he could be nice and cool. And I sprayed him with the Fresh Wave before I left. He's just looking at me going, this is my life. So hopefully when I get home, he'll
so
be
it worked,
much better.
Though? I mean, it, like,
much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still a little, there's a little bit of residue. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing with those Labradoodles, because they're not, they don't shed. So you really have to scrub the, I think I might have to give him one more bath. It was
one more
late.
Rinse.
One more rinse. So, Enzo. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Loretta in Libertyville. Hi, Loretta. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I took your recommendation, and I put in a beautiful concrete driveway. Well, that was a couple years ago, but guess what happened? A landscaper comes in my driveway with a leaky oil truck. And I got stain on it. How do I get that out if I can?
When did this happen?
About a week ago.
Okay. What do you use to clean your, what do you wash your clothes with? What soap?
Tide.
Tide. Powdered or liquid?
Liquid.
Okay. So go out there with the liquid, and this is a perfect day to do it. Take a nylon brush. Or if you have a little wire brush, but a nylon brush will work, pour a little of that Tide over that oil stain and start scrubbing it.
Okay.
And scrub it, scrub it, scrub it, and you're going to see it's going to turn from that blue color to brown. Scrub it, rinse it. Put some more on there. Scrub it and rinse it. And for anybody listening, if you get oil on there, the quicker you do it, the better, because the concrete's going to absorb that oil. And after a couple of applications, you should be able to get that off. but you're going to go it right now when we get off the phone.
Okay, the other question I have, I'm thinking ahead, snow removal. Do you think this, I'm really very protective of my driveway now.
I can tell.
The blade removal, is that bad?
I'm sorry.
The man says, I have a plastic blade. I don't want my concrete driveway damaged with a blade removal. What do you think?
The blade removal. Well, a lot of landscapers for driveways, if you have it plowed, use a plastic blade.
Mm-hmm.
So that won't, you know, the chance of that damaging your driveway is much less. It's a synthetic blade that they replace, many of them. So it's gives the clearing capability that a steel blade does. But that's if they're using a plastic blade, that's just something to ask them, and that should do well. Did we seal this driveway?
No.
Okay. You may want
to. I have sealed it?
Yeah, you may want to. Is it in good shape now?
It still is until I got this grease stain.
So get the oil out, and if we are successful getting the oil out, I want you to go buy a gallon and get someone to put of a product called Bone Dry.
Okay.
It's the best concrete sealer you can get, and it's owned by a friend of Lindsay's family. And they make it up in Kenosha. It's expensive, but it's really good. And either you or someone can apply it. You got to use a pump sprayer, and you got to wet the concrete first. But it's a silica based sealer that soaks in about the first inch or so of the concrete and bonds it so that stuff can't get in it. And it's
so you first spray it with water, and then you spray it.
It has to be damp. So it has to be damp. And then you apply this with a pump sprayer, and it's terrific.
So that'll prevent future grease stains sinking in?
It will. It will not. Well, yeah, in theory, yes. But what it'll help you do is it'll be easier to clean it. But what it'll really help is from moisture coming up from the bottom and popping mm-hmm. the concrete and making it a big mess down the line.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Lou.
You're welcome. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Monica, who's in Edgerton, Wisconsin. Where's that?
Oh, it's about 30 miles this side of Madison.
Oh, did you go for fish fry?
Near Janesville, 8 miles from Janesville.
Oh, I know where that is. Did you go to mm-hmm. fish? Did you go to a fish fry last night?
Actually, I did.
Really? Where'd you go?
The Decoy, right in Edgerton.
Is it good?
Delicious.
What do you like? What do they serve with the fish?
Different kind of potato, you know, either baked potato or the little square ones.
How about a potato pancake?
Coleslaw. That place doesn't. There's a few other places.
I love a good potato pancake. Mm. How can I help you, Monica?
I had a wall made out of timbers, treated timbers, and they made the steps out of the treated timbers also.
This is an outside wall and outside steps, okay?
Right, going down to the lake. It was a retaining wall. About 3 days later, all this icky, sticky stuff started coming up through the steps. And I guess it sat.
Okay.
How do I deal with this? One step was, like, completely covered. Really bad.
And when did all this work get done?
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. So those timbers, that sap, it takes a while for that sap to get out of there and to, you know, to pull it out of the wood. So a couple things you can try. You can pressure wash it, which should clear it all up initially, but it's going to continue to happen probably for a couple of months. And you can you need something to break. That sap is, you know, sticky, and it's blending mm-hmm. with the chemicals. And so you can use some cleaners, but the best thing to use is like a deck wash that you can scrub with a brush. Do you own a pressure washer at all?
I think I have one in the garage, but I don't use it.
Okay.
But I could get somebody.
That's the easiest way to get rid of it initially, but know that as it's drying out, you're going to get a little bit more of this. Come the spring, once you go through a winter, you probably will be okay and it'll stop. But you use a little cleaner, It's just the natural, you know, the wood. When you get those timbers, the big timbers, they're full of sap, and it just takes a while for them to clear out.
But it eventually would just go away.
It will stop, yes.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, do me a favor, since you're calling from so far away, we're going to send you a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, it's our new To Lou 2. Don't go away.
Trending now.
Big changes coming to this year's annual Bud Billiken Parade. They've asked participating groups to limit size and performance time.
To keep the parade moving and not have it as long as it has lasted in the past.
Never ever miss a story. Today on 720 WGN.
Timing is everything. The smartest car shoppers, they wait all year for the model year end. It's Chevy's summer countdown. When it comes to great deals, well, your local Chevy dealer has the perfect car, truck, or crossover. The Chevy Equinox, it's a great place to start looking. With room for five and the family dog plus 32 miles per gallon on the highway, Equinox has you covered. And right now, you can get 16% cash back off the MSRP on select remaining 2016 vehicles in stock. That's over $4,600 on the Chevy Equinox LT four-wheel drive. That's big. Summer's all about fun, too. Your local Chevy dealer has something big this summer. You can win a VIP behind-the-scenes tour of a Chevy TV commercial production with the Blackhawk stars of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. So go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details and register. You could win. You must be 18 years or older to enter. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details on Chevy's summer countdown. Time to go for it. All right, it's time now for our Noodaloo 2. And I ran into these people. Did you say any of this?
No.
Okay. So I was at the International Hardware Show in Las Vegas, and I'm walking around, and I'm looking at all the new stuff, and I run across these nice people with this cart. And I thought, huh, what's this cart? And I start talking to this lady, and she's telling me how she invented this cart, and she thinks it's really going to be great, and they were waiting for their shipment, and they designed it and did all this. And I said, well, once they're available, let's talk, because I want to tell people about this cart, and that's what we're going to do right now.
Cars, they're great. They get you where you want to go and fast. But not everyone drives, especially folks that live in cities. I used to literally forget where my car was parked because I wouldn't use it for so long. I'd walk to get coffee, go to the bank, get groceries, and then I'd have to lug them home on foot. And even if I did drive, sometimes I'd have to park blocks away and carry those heavy bags home with me. My arms did look really good, though. This week's new To Lou 2 expands the radius of what is walkable and makes running errands on foot much more comfortable. It's called the Scout Cart. With Scout, you can check out your local farmers markets, village square, and grocery store without the burden of having to carry heavy bags home with you or to a distant parking lot. It's basically a high-quality personal shopping cart that collapses down for easy storage. Okay, now this isn't for the occasional shopper on foot. This is a bit of an investment and a bit of a sticker shock, coming in at a whopping $399. However, one, it is on sale right now for $299, and two, this thing, if you use it enough, will be well worth the investment. It's super sturdy, has plenty of storage, swiveling wheels that would definitely trudge through rain, snow, ice, has a parking brake, an ergonomic grip. It's comfortable to push. It is the daddy-o of carts, let me tell you. To find out more or just to see how cool this thing is, you can visit scoutcart.com. They are brand spanking new. They also are for sale on Amazon.com. I'll put a link up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNRadio.com, also up on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's new To Lou 2.
I think it's a great cart. It is soup. It is like a, where was I just recently? Oh, I went to a Home Goods with Mary Beth. I love Home Goods, by the way.
Oh, don't get me started.
You just buy like crazy stuff that you don't think you need.
No.
Like I saw this airplane that is like a metal airplane that you would just put on a shelf.
Yeah.
It was the coolest metal airplane.
And you bought it?
No, I was like, why would I buy that? But I loved it. Right? You find stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they use the smaller shopping carts. Have you been to retail stores where they have that smaller two-level shopping cart? Which, note to retailers, you can increase your sales by making the shopping carts bigger. Just by doing that.
And Home Goods needs bigger carts then because...
Well, if I put the airplane in the shopping cart, that's it. But I knew we were doing the Scout cart, and I saw this lady pushing that small cart. And this sort of has that look, but more... So in other words, you got the two levels, right? Because this Scout cart, imagine a golf bag cart that you put your golf bag on with the two wheels with the handle. So that's kind of like the back end. But then there's two wheels in the front. There's a large basket on the bottom. There's a basket on the top that's removable. And I think it's strong enough to put a baby in a car seat carrier thing in. Yeah.
Do they recommend that?
Well, I don't know. But you know what? We got to make these kids tougher.
Okay.
I don't know that the company recommends that, but I think you could. And it's super sturdy.
It is. It is a good
This is not for everyone. This is for the person living in Manhattan who doesn't have a car. The person living downtown who's going shopping. You can do everything with this cart. And like you said, the only downside to this bad boy is it's expensive.
Right.
I mean, we sell the grocery cart things at our hardware store for, I don't know, $20, $30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they're rickety. They're not, they don't last forever. And then you put a few grocery bags in it. You're not, this thing, if you wanted to go buy a 200-pound sump pump and put it in the bottom basket, you could. Yeah. And you could push it around up and over the curb and everything.
Well, and the wheels are really, that's what I liked about it too, is the wheels. Because I feel like a lot of the ones that are in the city, if you're walking through snow and
ice.
Oh,
forget it. You can totally do this one all four seasons. And if you're not driving, which you young millennials, you don't like the cars, although you do. You change your car every year. You got to get like a deal with a car dealer because you'd be the perfect, I'm tired of this, I want a new one. They love people like you. But I like the cart. It's expensive, but check it out. It does fold down. It's heavy. So, you know, this is not like
it's not that heavy.
No, but I mean, it's not a lightweight grocery cart. I don't want you to think that. But I love the fact that it was one of those, yet again, created out of a need that they put together. And it's a nice young company trying something new. So I love that. So check it all out. It's up on our Facebook page. It's up at WGNradio.com. And you can vibe about it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite, you need a little bit of soul to put you right.
8:09 in the morning. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by WetAndForget.com, by Fox Home Center, and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Sean in Chicago. Hey, Sean, you're on WGN.
How you doing, Lou?
Good. What's going on?
All right, so I just remodeled the washroom. My daughter out of high school figured she needed an upgrade in a new washroom.
You're a good dad. You're a good dad.
Unbelievable, huh? So went to Builder Supply, went out, got my vanity, got my granite, got it all settled out. Had somebody install the marble on a, I believe it is a steel coated tub. My question is, there's no silicone around there. He put the grout in with the marble, and where the tub meets the marble.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, I heard that you're not supposed to do that. Are you supposed to do that? And then if you do it, do we just seal it with silicone or is caulk better?
The joint between the marble and or any kind of tile that meets the tub should not be grout. That should be caulk because no matter what that tub is, it's going to move when you're standing in it.
Right.
So if they it's a marble tile that's on the wall?
That's correct.
Okay. So where that grout is that's along the edge of the tub, if it were me, I would remove most of that grout.
Okay.
And you can do it one of two ways. You can get a small hand grout removal tool that looks like it's got a handle on it and it has a little blade, almost looks like a bunch of sandpaper on it, like stone, but it's hard.
Sure.
And you go back and forth like a toothbrush. I need you to take out a good eighth of an inch of depth, okay? And you want to be careful with that brand new tub. What might make sense to do, Sean, is take some painter's tape along the edge of the tub and put that down first so you don't scratch the tub.
Okay.
Then once you get about an eighth of an inch out, are you doing this part of the work?
I am.
Okay. The best thing to use is a pure silicone caulk. And with that tape that you're leaving on the tub, if you do a really nice job with that tape on the tub, then you're going to put some painter's tape on the edge of the marble on the vertical side on the three sides of the tile, leaving just the gap that you're going to fill with the silicone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to squirt the silicone in. You're going to tool it smoothly with your finger so it's nice and flat. Any excess you're going to remove, any excess is going to spill onto the tape itself. And then while it's still wet, you're going to gently remove the tape, and you're going to get this beautiful clean line both top and bottom. Let that dry overnight, and you should be good to go.
Great, Lou. Thank you very much. And that silicone, can I use that to seal? No, I'm sorry. To mount the marble or the granite? I'm sorry, the granite to the vanity? Is that still the same kind of?
Yeah, you can use silicone to attach that. Yes.
Beautiful. Lou, thank you very much.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. This is Mark in Chicago. Mark, you're on WG. Oh no, I'm sorry, Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good.
I have a question. I'm actually an old neighbor of yours, much older sister, Kevin and Kelly.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, I have a jumbo bungalow in Chicago.
Okay.
And I am putting it on the market to sell. I do not have central air on the first floor. Would it behoove me to put in air conditioning to sell? And or would it be better with space packs or those mini splits?
Are we literally selling in the next year?
Yes.
Don't spend the money.
Don't spend the money.
No,
okay.
Because, I mean, if the rest of the house is in decent shape.
It's in beautiful shape, and there's an in-law apartment that has central air upstairs.
Yeah, so whoever comes to buy the place is going to say, hey, Mary, you don't have central air here, and you want X amount of dollars for your place. And you just need to know that they're going to take, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 in their offer and let them do it.
Okay.
That you're so not, you're not.
I would be making a mess and everything else.
Well, not even that, but it's just, you're going to throw, you know, if you have to put in a space pack, you're going to throw $8,000-$9,000 into this thing. And I don't know that you're going to get that out of it. So you can trade the dollars on the sales side and you don't have to go through the headache. Spend the time and effort to, you know, get the place looking nice and, you know, all cleaned up and spruce up the curb appeal, make sure that the peeling paint is taken care of, all that stuff. And as far as the AC goes, let the new buyers deal with that and work it out on your offer.
Wonderful.
All right.
You made me feel better. I think I'm watching too many Property Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, remember all that stuff there. I'm not going to say anything. Enjoy your TV. Remember, it's on TV.
Yes, it is.
All right. Nice talking to you.
It's not a reality show.
It is not.
Right?
No. It is not.
All right.
Good luck. I hope the house sells.
Okay. Appreciate, so do I. Thank
yeah,
you.
Appreciate you calling this morning. 8:15 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Another Saturday morning on WGN Radio. And that means you're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, that's me. Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mr. Fix-It Show, coming up a little bit later on after the 8:30 news. If you're doing any kind of home improvements around your home, and you need some money, I got a guy here that'll give you some. It'll cost you, but actually, we're going to talk about what makes more sense, taking cash out of your home if you have the equity or doing an equity line of credit. And there are differences to the whole thing, and we're going to have someone from Wintrust who's going to help talk through all that and give us the ins and outs to make sure that, you know, you're making the right decision so that when you're improving the home, whether it's a room addition or a new kitchen, new bathroom, you name it, you got the money to do it, and it's the best deal you can possibly get. That'll be after the 8:30 news. This is Tom in Naperville. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I recently lost my sump pump in the basement, and I'm redoing the whole thing and having a heart attack, figuring out what kind of subfloor to put in. Or should I put a subfloor in? I seen the kind of little interlocking ones with the plastic underneath.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that's the best way to go, or use traditional subfloor technique or dry lock. I forgot the name of the other type of approach to take with that. So I wanted your opinion.
So when you said your sump pump broke and then you got a flood?
Yeah, I lost the carpet and... the carpet went away, and now I'm down there trying to figure out what to put in.
Okay. And prior to this, were you happy with the flooring, or do you want to, in other words, was it cold? Was it warm? I mean, what is it that you ultimately would like to do in the space?
I kind of like to make it like a TV area where I can just go hide from my wife.
Okay.
And actually, she would prefer that I would hide.
All right. Sounds like a very happily married couple.
42 years.
Well, then you must be doing something right by listening to her. Okay, so number one, we got to make sure that we get a brand new sump pump and we put in a backup system as well. Have you done that?
I got the new sump pump. I had one ready to go with the pipe and everything, but I did not get the battery one because I've had bad luck with batteries. They just don't seem to last long, and even though it's got a little trickle charger on it, it seems like when I need it, it's just like not working very well. So I was hesitant about that, but I should probably reconsider the new technology.
Yeah, I think that what you can probably do is look at, it's more of a professionally installed, but there are systems out there that have gel batteries. And so one of the knocks with the DIY backups is the fact that you have a lead acid battery, and when they sit on the trickle charger, they don't, it weakens the battery over time, and you have to replace the battery every 3 years, and you got to make sure you put water in it, this and that. With these gel batteries, you hook them up, they keep the charge. 5 years from now, you just mark in your calendar that I need a new battery. But they retain, something like 80% of their power even 5 years down the road. That's something that, let's say, those systems, the chargers and everything have to be specific to the gel batteries. PermaSeal, for instance, installs backup systems that use those gel batteries. It may be something to consider for you. And the reason I say that is if you're going to finish this out, you have to have a backup. You're kicking yourself if you do all this without doing some kind of backup in there. So that, I think, is job one. Then from there, I mean, these floating floor underlayments that you're talking about, one I believe is called dry lock, those are nice, in particular, if that floor is always cold or if there's just a little bit of moisture that is permeates up through the floor. It can help to control that because it allows it to breathe. And it can warm up the floor by separating the carpeting from the concrete. But... the big but here, Tom, is if you've never had an issue with the floor, like, oh, my gosh, I love being down here, but the floor is so cold, I don't know that you need the added expense of something like that, in particular if you're going to put carpeting again. If you've got a dry basement and you've never really had a problem with water getting in there other than when the sump pump failed.
That's right. Yeah.
Then I think that you could probably just go with that new sump pump installed, definitely a backup. And then do something with a new carpeting or however you want to finish it off so that, it's a nice usable space where you can go hide from your wife. Right? Seems fair. Thanks so much for the phone call. 8:25 in the morning, quick break, and we'll be back right after these. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way.
8:36 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Thanks so much for listening. Kathy and Judy coming up this morning at 10. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. But before we get to that, I want to talk about your money or money that you may need. Joining me in the studio is Jason Akala, who is a senior mortgage consultant over at Wintrust Community Banks. Jason, good morning.
Morning, Lou. How are
nice
you?
To meet you.
Nice
Thanks
meet
for
you.
Coming in. I have noticed of late, and this is all good, a lot of friends of mine who are still in the business building and renovating homes have been very busy. I hear from a lot of people that say, oh, my gosh, I can't find a contractor. Geez, these guys are so busy, you know, and there's a lot of guys that they just have lots of work. And I see in my neighborhood driving around and other neighborhoods, there's a lot going on. And for a lot of people that want to do this, they may not recognize that they're sitting on an investment that can help them get the work done, get what they want done. And correct me if I'm wrong, but money right now is pretty cheap.
Very cheap.
Right? I mean, yes. The interest rates are really good. And I know that when we went through the whole, kind of debacle of 07, 08, a lot of lending became more difficult in the sense of paperwork and verification and the kinds of things that you guys, not only banks, but even mortgage brokers, have to go through to make sure that I's are crossed and T's are this and that. Now, here is what I always am very aware of, is when things start to loosen up a little bit, all of a sudden these mortgage companies that you've never heard of before start advertising like crazy, promising the world. Oh, my God, we can do this. And then there are legit mortgage brokers out there that are sponsors here on WGN who've been around a long time. But then you hear these other ones that you've never heard of before. They come, oh, we're out of Texas, or we're out of, and all this kind of, and that always worries me because I don't want people to be taken advantage of. So what I want to talk to you specifically about today is if you've got equity in your home, you got a couple of options, right? You can either get a home equity line of credit, or you can take that equity and refinance your house and take the cash. Now, do you, as a broker or as someone that's in this business, do you have a preference?
No, it really depends on the needs of the borrower. You're talking about two different types of things.
Right.
One, cash out, refinance. Let's back up a little bit. One of the most important things that you have to realize is in order to take any type of cash out of your home, you have to have equity.
Right.
So equity is a really key point here. Under normal circumstances, you should be looking that you're going to need, most lenders are going to go up to about 80% of your home value in
Got
equity.
It.
Normal conforming loan, FHA, which is Federal Housing Administration, goes up to 85% cash mm-hmm. out. Veterans can take up to 90%. And so you have to look at what you're looking for. So do you want to refinance your entire loan into one payment?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to take out a second loan? Now, there are benefits to a second mortgage. Benefits of a second mortgage are you keep your existing home loan as it is.
Right.
But the other key thing about it is there's two types of really second mortgages. One would be a home equity loan where it's almost like it's an installment loan. It's like getting a car loan. You take this amount and you pay this amount over a certain amount of years, and you're not going to be able to draw back against it. But a home equity line of credit, the benefits of that is that you can draw against it and pay back the balance. You're only paying interest only on the amount that you owe.
Right.
So you could technically pay it down to zero, and the nice benefit is you can always go back and draw against that line in the future, and you're only paying interest on the amount that you have outstanding.
When you do a home equity line of credit, is there a set term for that loan, or is that something that's flexible as well? In other words, if I say – so let's just say I have equity – for the sake of this discussion, I'm a homeowner. I've got equity in my home.
and I have the ability to borrow $75,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, that meets all the requirements as far as whatever. Because really, what you're saying is the appraisal is the big carrot that matters.
Absolutely.
But things now, because of the way home sales have been and inventory, appraisals are a little more consistent, right? You can sort of...
Very much so.
There's a lot of comps out there.
Well, there's a lot of comps, but also understand that the appraisal process, due to the Home Value Code of Conduct Act, and I don't want to get into too much lenderese here.
Right, but I mean, that's important.
But it is. It's very important because the process is completely independent. As a lender, I cannot even speak to an appraiser. We have absolutely no influence over the process. In fact, you know, sometimes someone might get upset with us what the value of their home is. We have absolutely no control. We just order it.
So a customer can't come to you and say, Jason, can you give me the name of an appraiser? I mean,
no.
You got to stay out of that.
Absolutely.
Right.
We order it through a...
Because that's where a lot of banks got in trouble a few years ago.
Absolutely.
Not you guys. You guys actually were... You stayed out of that fray, which is, you know... I'm sure back then everybody thought Wintrust was crazy. Why aren't you guys doing this? And then
we're very conservative.
Right, yeah. Right. Remember, banks only lend money to people that don't need it. That's what my dad used to say. But, I mean, in other words, you're making sure everything is right, right? I mean, because you want to loan money, but you want to make sure that who you're loaning the money to can pay it back.
Absolutely.
Right. All right, so the appraisal is completely separate.
Completely independent.
Right.
We, as the bank, order the appraisal on behalf of the borrower.
Right.
The borrower pays for the appraisal. And
right.
And then the appraiser contact the... We are through a management company, and the management company contacts and assigns the appraiser, and the appraiser contacts whoever the contact is for the property.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now I got this equity line of credit. I've got $75,000 available to me. If I do an equity line of credit, how long do I have that loan for?
That usually, there's different terms of it. Sometimes, you know, 10 years.
Okay.
Usually you have a 10-year. And you mentioned a really good point. I talked to a lot of my customers about this. Is the bank never gives me money when I need it. So what I tell people all the time is, well, when you have the ability, and a home equity line is a great thing to do when you have the ability to take it, because understand, if you have the line against your house, you can keep that at a zero balance.
And doesn't cost you anything.
Sometimes there's an annual fee, but
right.
It's minimal. But
right.
the other nice thing about it is you can keep that line at zero, and then understand that, you know, for home improvement especially, it's tax deductible down the road. And you can leave it at zero. You can draw on it when you want to, you know what, you want to make home improvement projects. Pay it back. The line's always open. And think about that from a perspective when we go back to the old saying, you know, the bank never gives you money when you want it. Well, you have the money when you were able to qualify for it, you know, and if something comes up down the road
right.
where there was an issue, well, you have that line against it in case of emergencies. And I always recommend when, you know, especially in financing, for people to take advantage of these of options when they have them.
Right. Now, the flip side to that, if I have that same equity and I go refinance my house, mm-hmm. right? So now my house is value, you know, the appraisal comes in, it's $200,000 and I can take $300,000 and I can take $75,000 and now I'm going to refinance that house for $300,000. Right, and that 75 gets rolled in. Now, in theory, I could roll that into a new 30-year mortgage, and that 75,000 that gets buried in that 30 years can be a small amount. But it's now you got this cash, right? And from to do whatever you want with.
Well, but I understand there's significant benefits to that too, because you're taking advantage of literally 30-year fixed right now, 15-year, 10-year, historic lows.
It's amazing.
So you're locking into extremely low rates right now over that course of time. One key thing you mentioned, with a home equity line of credit, understand that is going to be a floating line.
Right.
In other words, it's going to adjust, and I don't want to get too technical, but it's based on prime, okay? Prime right now is 3.5%. The one key thing, whenever you hear about the Fed raising rates, that directly, just like it impacts, like it affects revolving lines. So
right.
like a credit card, it affects. So if the Fed says it's going up a quarter, your home equity line's going to go up a quarter. So you have to realize that over time, you know, if rates really go up, that's going to directly impact what you're paying on that line. That's the nice thing about just a standard 30-year fixed mortgage, that you don't have to worry about that. So going back to your original you know, question about which is better. It really depends on, you know, what the needs are and what the risks are for the borrower.
Is this the kind of stuff that you guys at Wintrust, when you, you know, I've been in this business a long time. I've been I've done a lot of different loans with commercial property. So I not that I'm this expert, but I know the terminology, right? When you talk about it, I think the average person walking through your doors, you know, they get a mortgage once, maybe twice in their life. They're not a, they don't own businesses and this and that. It's, I think that the real benefit of doing business with a bank like yours is that, do you guys sit down and kind of spell this all out to really educate the consumer so that they can make an informed decision on the best way to go?
Well, absolutely. There's a reason why we're still here, right?
Right.
You know, we sit down, we want to outline what is, you know, not only the short-term need for the borrower, but also, you know, the long-term financial impact. And that's a lot of things. That's one reason why a lot of people got in trouble in the past is that no one really sat down and said, okay, this is good right now, but have you thought about, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road? Is this the best product for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about what's the best product for us, okay? It doesn't matter with fair lending and that type of thing. It's, you know, really it's the best thing for the consumer. And that's Wintrust mantra. One other thing I want to mention real quick is also, you know, for people who do not have equity in their homes to renovate.
Right.
There's phenomenal programs. I specialize in them myself. Wintrust specializes in them. And that's renovation loans. You don't necessarily have to have the equity in your home now because it's going to be based off the future equity of the home improvement project. So
give me an example.
Sure. So let's say someone has a home. It's worth $200,000 today. And they want to do a $100,000 renovation to it. Let's say
room addition, or put a second floor on the ranch house, or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they can own the home. They can even do this on a purchase, but we can do it on a refinance as well. But someone could, if the future value of that home in the neighborhood with that type of addition or whatever that improvement's going to be, let's say that it's going to equal $300,000. Just, you know, rough scenario.
Right.
We can lend up to 96.5% of that future value, 95%. There's lots of things that we can do with it.
Interesting.
But you don't have to have the equity in it now. So in circumstances where, you know, we're talking about a cash out refinance or home equity loan, you had to have that equity. And you're going to have a significant amount of equity.
Right. So you have a home, maybe that your mother-in-law is going to come live with you, and you're going to put an addition on with mm-hmm. a separate, you know, mother-in-law addition. And now, so the appraiser, who's separate from you, mm-hmm. does some sort of future appraisal.
Well, that's
right. I mean, how do you come to that number?
Well, it's a process. Okay.
Right.
But we have individuals that will go out, that they're called consultants. They go out, they basically do line item bidding of the anticipated cost of everything that the borrower wants to do mm-hmm. on the home. And then the borrowers take these write-ups that are done, and they shop them out to contractors. And then once the contractors and they're reviewed by the consultants and everything makes sense, and this is not, you know, this is not expensive stuff. This
is
a streamlined process. Then the appraiser takes not only what your current value of your home is worth in its current condition, but also this report that basically states this is all the work that's going to be done on the home to improve it, to create the future value of after completion. Okay. And the nice thing is once that's all appraised out, then we arrive at that future value. The loan closes. Then over the course of time, there's drawdowns to the contractor for the work.
Right. So everything's on the up and up. Everybody gets paid. There's no issue with liens. And
there's also contingencies built into it, people is
what
great.
Do you call this product?
There's a couple different things there's a couple different programs for it. One's the most known is called an FHA, Federal Housing Administration, 203K. That's a renovation loan. The other one, little less known about, which I find extremely successful, is called Homestyle, which is the conventional equivalent. Okay, and the last one is Wintrust offers a construction of perm product, construction of permanent financing, which most time people think that's just for building a new house, but we do it successfully for people who already are in their homes, and we can. I mean, that's that's from smaller projects all the way up to $5 million.
That's awesome.
So,
Jason Akala, he's the senior mortgage consultant with Wintrust Community Banks. If people want to talk to you specifically or Wintrust in general, give me a couple contact numbers.
Sure. You can contact me directly. My number is 312-462-7732. Again, 312-462-7732.
See, he's never really done radio before, but he's good about repeating the number. I like that. Right. Very good.
And anybody can go to Wintrust, wintrust.com, and find out everything about Wintrust.
That's awesome.
Products.
Good information. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for people to get the money to do these improvements, but you really, for all of this, you need to sit down with someone, specifically if it's at the Wintrust Community Banks, to understand everything that's out there. I worry when I hear all the stuff about the, oh, it's this and it's that and it's this. You got to make informed decisions, because once you lock in all this kind of stuff, you got to pay it all back. So while you're enjoying that improvement, make sure you're getting the best deal possible.
I'm sure your dad told you don't believe everything you hear, right?
Absolutely. Right. If it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, more than likely it's a duck. Jason, you're not a duck. I appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thanks, Lou.
It is 8:52 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. 8:55 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Leonard in Melrose Park. Leonard, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Lou?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
Hey, my mother-in-law has a gravestone in the city, and it's right next to the alley and a lot of traffic. It's over in the Newtown area.
Okay.
And the concrete, I think my father-in-law had put some concrete between the asphalt and the brick side of the building, and that's all come loose. And in turn, water has seeped down into the basement where there's a family room. My question is, can I just rip that up and use some dry pack cement there, or do I need to put rebars in there? Or you have any idea?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the building backs up to the alley. The alley is asphalt.
Correct.
And it goes right up to the building.
Right. And then my father-in-law had put a concrete sloped between the brick building and the asphalt long time ago. He passed away several years ago.
Okay.
So now all that has started breaking up in different areas. So I'm wondering if I can just take that up and do the same thing, something similar.
Yeah, so my only concern is that, you see, with the brick, with the masonry there, if that asphalt is above the foundation, and
correct,
when you put any kind of connection there, does water, when it rains, does water pool against the building or no?
No.
It's pitched away. It's pitched away.
Yeah, because the way that the concrete was put, it sloped away.
Got
from
it.
The building,
okay. All right.
Know.
I mean, the short answer is yes. You don't need any rebar. But what I would tell you to do is if you remove what's there and you have a nice little gap between the building and the alley, you know, say it's a couple of inches. Does that sound about right?
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Or is it more than that?
It could be closer.
Okay. So if you're going to do something like that, what I would suggest you do is cut out everything you can and then use a concrete patch, or, you know, you could even use like a sand mix that you can mix together and form into the groove and then angle up over the top. Like on the curb that you're going to create a slope away, you're just going to have to build that up. So you may need some kind of form or something on the alley, like a piece of wood that you hold down with weight so you can build it up and work it back and forth to create a pitch away, just so any water that comes down that building gets shed away from the building.
But now with the putting the concrete up against the building, won't that contraction and expansion?
It will, but the rebar is not going to help you. What you're going to have to do there, if it's even closer, in other words, if it's only an inch away, then what you could do instead is clean it all up and build it up with some butyl caulking. And that's going to give you the flexibility that you can use. You can apply it. You can tool it with a a putty knife to get a nice little angle. Then if there's movement back and forth, you know, it'll adhere to the building. My only concern still is if this is above the foundation line, you still could have an issue with water coming in. So I don't want you to go in. And there's a chance that this works, but your issue may be below that, and you may need to put some kind of drain tile on the inside, which may mean you need the help of somebody like a PermaSeal. Appreciate the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. Don't go away. You will do it when I say it. Hi, welcome back. 9:11 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, by the Lindeman Chimney Company, and by LouHairVideo.com. I'm so excited right now. What have I been talking about? What have I been talking about? I know it's a setup. Yeah, tell me. What do I want to do? What do I keep talking? What is it? Here's my question. When anybody calls from Wisconsin on this radio show, when they say, oh, I'm calling from Madison, what's the first thing I ask them?
Where'd you go to fish fry last night?
Right, and what happened today?
They said, oh, we went to Ishnala.
Well, no, they didn't go to Ishnala because nobody wants me to go to Ishnala. They don't want me to go to Mirror Lake. They don't want me to take a bunch of listeners to drive a bus all the way up to Mirror Lake, which is about 3 hours. So I think if we were going to sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall, we'd probably have to start with 1,000. Is that right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Who's on the phone right now? Who's on the, what does Rokan call it? The super celebrity hotline.
Yeah. Bob Prosser from Ishmael Supper Club.
How are you, Bob?
I'm standing on the beautiful deck of Ishmael overlooking Mirror Lake right now, and I'm talking to you.
Which is the only thing that you overlook at Ishmael, right?
Is Mirror Lake.
Right.
And all I ever hear for my customers, which is awesome, is you talking about Ishmael and WGN.
Right.
It's been a terrific partnership, and I had a customer Thursday night say, hey, you got to call Lou because he was talking about you. That's all he doesn't talk about you. He's talking about this bus trip.
How many times have I been to Ishmael, Bob?
I don't know. How many times have you been?
Never.
I know. I didn't know if that was a setup question.
Yeah, it was. All I want to do, Bob, I want to come up with some angle where I can get I want to put people on a bus. I want to sing 1,000 bottles of beer on the wall. When I get to Ishmael, I want to have dinner with all the listeners. I don't even drink a brandy old fashioned, but I will.
Well, let's. What's the problem here? We got to make it happen. Get things done. Yeah. I mean, you're Mr. Fix-It. Geez, I've been listening to your show for the last hour. And I'm thinking to myself, how does this guy know all this stuff about all these things?
Should see me in the kitchen, too.
What's that?
You should see me in the kitchen, too.
Is that right? I think we should do a trip. You should come up here in the afternoon. You can sit on the deck, and then we can take some people out on the pontoon boat that want to go out and just sit around and have some dinner. And
You had me on. I'm on the deck looking at Mirror Lake. So tell me real quick, since you're getting an unbiased plug here, you talk in your ads that you've been part of Ishmael for 30 years. Is this something that's been in your family that long?
Actually, I was there's the Hoffman houses in the Midwest in the 70s. There were 8 brothers that started all the restaurants in the Midwest, mostly in Wisconsin. And they bought this property in 1953, which was an old Indian trading post. And then there was a private home in the early 1900s. So they built on this beautiful restaurant overlooking the lake, and I worked for them in Wausau when I was 16 as a busboy.
Okay.
So I worked through my career, and then I actually worked at Elk Grove. There was a Hoffman house there at Midway Motor Lodge in the 80s, or in the late 70s. So I worked at several of their restaurants and then landed in Rockford where we still have a Hoffman house, and I was able to beg and borrow and figure out how to buy the company. So now I was fortunate enough to be the owner of Ishmael.
All right, so let me ask you this. If we can figure out a way to put a busload of people to come up to Mirror Lake, this is my plan. We get on the bus on a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
We drive to Ishmael, okay?
Yep.
We have dinner there, okay?
Yep.
Now, where am I putting these people? We got to stay somewhere. Is there a hotel somewhere nearby?
Well, there's all kinds of hotels. It all depends on how many people. We always recommend the Cedar Lodge.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. See, we need to create this. Somebody's got to pay for all this, Bob. You know how this is. This is business. So you talk to your friends at the Cedar Lodge, and we do a whole other thing. Then on Saturday morning, okay, we're going to do this radio show. And Mike Steven, who is like, he loves, he wants to come too. He does all the stories that people don't know about. So he'll say a little story about the Cedar Lodge, and he'll tell more stories about Ishnala, and then we'll do both shows from Ishnala. Can you do breakfast for our special guests?
We can do anything.
Okay, so then we come after we do that, and we completely transform your business, because all these people now are going to come up, and then we drive the bus back.
I think that's an excellent idea. You just let me know who I need to work with.
Yeah, who is the person that takes your money here at WGN?
I don't know the answer to that. I just write the check.
All right, attaboy. I like Bob. Bob, I like you, and we are having Brandy Alexander's at that bar. We're figuring this thing out. But you're not open. When do you close?
October 30th.
Lindsay? This better get done before October 30th.
I do it in September, I would think, would be a great month.
I think September would be great. Lindsay's from Wisconsin. She's like got the drug. She drinks. You can make me a rye whiskey Manhattan up there, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you make more than one?
Angel's Envy bourbon rye, perhaps. That's a good one.
I love Bob. You know my new best friend in Mirror Lake is? You know what it is? Bob Prosser.
Prosser.
Hold on, Bob. Mirror Lake up there, Ishnala. Make it all happen. He doesn't even know who he's taking his money here. My goodness, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Gene.
Hi there.
Gene, would you go on a bus ride with me to Mirror Lake to go to that supper club?
My dear, I'd go on a bus ride with you anywhere.
You're the best. How can I help you?
Well, I did a very stupid thing. I have a Italian ice cream bowl, one of six, and I was drying it, and it broke in half. So, and it was a clean break, so I went and got some crazy glue, put it together, it fit very nicely, and put it on my granite countertop, and now I can't pick up the bowl.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So there I have a gorgeous countertop with a little ice cream bowl right in the middle.
That you can't move.
That I can't move.
Okay. Let's see, how are we going to do this? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to run the hot water tap so you get the hot water nice and hot and put it into a coffee cup and then pour that hot water into the bowl.
I tried that.
And you couldn't loosen it up?
No. Somebody said to me to use nail polish remover.
No, because you'll
ruin the granite.
Yeah, okay, so I want you to do this. Let's see. You have a spatula, don't you?
I do.
Okay, so do the hot water thing again. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then once it's in there, grab the bowl and take the little spatula, the sharpest plastic spatula you have, and slowly go around the bottom of that Italian ice cream bowl to pop it off.
Okay.
And then you may break the ice cream bowl again.
I don't care about that.
Right, but it'll come off the counter.
Okay, so the very hot water with the spatula around the rim on the counter.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, so when are we going to Wisconsin?
We're going to work on that. I'll let you know. I got Bob just called in, and now we got the Cedar Lodge. We need some charity angle. That's what I want to do. If we're going to do it, we gotta help the charity. So we'll figure something out. And
absolutely.
Details to follow.
Good.
Thank you, Gene.
And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Appreciate you calling. It is 9:19. Don't go away. 9:23 in the morning. 312-981-7200. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. But back now to the phone lines. Here's Bob in Lake Villa. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
What's going on?
I have a weird plumbing problem. We have a tri-level house built in the 60s. And there are two toilets back to back. The master bathroom toilet and the main bathroom toilet are just literally right through the wall from each other.
Okay.
In the last 2 weeks to a month, when you flush one toilet, either one, it siphons the water out of the toilet that it's back to back with.
Then after it's full, you can go to the bathroom that's got siphoned down. You flush it, does exactly the same thing. The biggest problem is that when the toilet bowl is virtually empty, it often splashes straight up, you know, 5 feet.
Nice.
Yeah, that's so nice. So anyway, we're trying to figure it out, and I've tried a few things, but right now I've got a problem.
It sounds like you have a clogged vent.
Yep.
And have you been up to the roof?
I had somebody come over yesterday. We ran a snake down the vent. We got an inspection camera, but it wouldn't do the elbow in the vent.
Right.
So what we ended up doing was running a snake down it. And the guy who was up there when the toilet flushed, he said he could hear water sloshing in the vent. So I don't know where the clog might be or where the break might be. There might be water in it. I'm wondering if we could pour some of that toilet declogger, you know, the stuff
no.
that melts all the air.
If you came down from the roof, chances are that clog is right at the elbow that reaches the that then feeds both that, you know, it's, you probably have like a T or a Y. Well, let me think about this. One, two. Yeah, you probably have like a T that both these toilets back up to, and then it T's off. And I bet that clog is right where the T's come together and then the vent goes up. And so in order to free this, you're going to pull the toilets. Probably
okay.
pull one to start. And then yep. if you can either use a camera and or a snake, you have to not only go, you need to go not to the other toilet, but you need to go and turn the corner, which will be difficult
okay.
to do with a snake. But with the right person behind it, I bet that clog is right there. The fact that it's siphoning
okay.
back and forth is a vent issue.
I that's what I assumed. We've tried that an awful lot. We even ran a garden hose down that vent.
Yeah,
for quite a while, and it just the water went away.
Yeah, there's not a so the thing is, if you were going to do water, you need a higher volume of water to try and get through. My guess is
okay.
it's like a squirrel or something that fell down the vent, or a bird that is now clogged, and you need to push that thing through. So if you wanted to try the water thing again, what you'd have to do is take like a 5-gallon bucket onto the roof and dump a huge volume of water down there.
Okay.
But I think your easier bet is to pull the toilets.
Okay.
All right.
We'll give it a try. Good. Otherwise, we'll just turn the house upside down and shake it.
Shake it. Shake it. That would be great. I think that will work out just fine. 9:26 in the morning, 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
I don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Sponsored by IWantSmart.com. It's our Just Text Me segment where you send us some text messages and I try and help you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just reading through our texts. Getting lots of Ishnala texts.
What are they saying?
A lot of Brandy Alexander. Ooh, we had an ice cream Brandy Alexander there last week. A must
Ooh.
Have. We're in a lot of charity ideas. It sounds like there's a lot of people on board, including me.
We need somebody to pull this all together.
Oh,
I don't know
I've
what
got
else.
Emails flying back here, Lou.
I know. I don't know who. What else I got to do to help make this place successful? Okay.
Gosh.
Pay attention. Who's running that sales department back there, for crying out loud? Okay,
all
what do you
right.
got?
Lou, why are all my windows sweating? I changed to fan on, as you suggested, on the thermostat, but I can't see outside my windows.
Well,
they're here too, right? And at our house too.
Yeah, I mean, right here, looking right at the windows here, because it is so humid and muggy mm-hmm. outside that the moisture is actually on the outside of the glass. Your windows are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and it's the fact that there's just too much of a differential between the humidity outside and the dehumidification on the inside. So the way you can avoid it is actually by raising the temperature inside the house, which you might not be as comfortable,
But it's just it's an atmospheric thing that you can't change because there's just too much humidity and mugginess outside. Once it tempers out a little bit and the humidity levels go down and you're not using the air as much, it should balance out.
Okay. Next, good morning, all. Can spar varnish be put over solid-stained cedar wood siding?
No.
No.
If it's solid-colored stain, more than likely it is an acrylic, and that spar varnish would seal up. It would be a problematic. It's really better to be used, in my opinion, just over oil-based semi-transparent stains.
Okay. Seriously, there's so many texts about the Ishtal. I'm trying to weed through it.
I want to sit on the deck and look over Mirror Lake.
My gosh, seriously.
Yeah. That's all I want to do. It's a 3-hour bus ride, though. We might have to take a separate car.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. Oh, my goodness.
How are we doing with that? Did the intern organize all the Just Text Me segments?
Well, people keep texting, and then it
moves everything
back.
Okay. All right. Make sure that with this really hot weather that what that person mentioned, when it's over 85 degrees, switch the thermostat from auto to fan on. You will be more comfortable, and it will lower your energy bills, I promise.
We did that.
Yeah.
What primer and paint do you recommend for kitchen cabinets? Cabinet doors are now dark stain. I want a lighter color.
You can use any kind of primer that is a stain-killing primer. There's Kills, there's Bin, Bullseye, which is very good. Then I really like this Ace Cabinet and Trim Paint that probably most people don't even know about. It comes in a brown label can. It is an alkaline-based self-leveling paint. Do a little light sanding, prime everything, then put two coats of this over the top with a brush. With this self-leveling technology, when it's done, it'll look like you spray-painted the cabinets, and they will look fantastic.
Next, 815, what are your thoughts on air duct cleaning? Legit or a waste of money?
It's legit if you hire a company that uses a whip along with a vacuum cleaner. I think it's something that should be done every 5 to 7 years, and you will be amazed and completely grossed out by all the stuff they pull out of your ductwork.
Right. We had it done.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe easier.
Absolutely. And then upgrade your filters when you do that to a pleated filter.
I have moss or algae growing on my cushions on my deck furniture. Can I use Wet and Forget on the cushions? If not, what can I use?
You absolutely can use Wet and Forget. I would brush off any heavier residue that's there first. And then Wet and Forget just came out with a pre-mixed bottle. It's in the same kind of bottle that they use for their shower cleaner, their Wet and Forget shower, which, by the way, I've been using in our shower.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. And the vanilla scent
just makes it that much
better. Well, it doesn't bother me. Oh. I thought it would bother me. It doesn't bother me. But it's weird because I leave the bottle in there. We have a really large shower. So right when I'm done, before I get out, I grab the bottle, squirt, and then I get out. So. Is that just text me?
Well, I have one more. 10 years ago, I painted the garage floor with epoxy paint. It's worn off in many places. Can I paint over it now? If so, what should I use?
Sure. You still need to scrub it and get everything off that you possibly can. If you use another epoxy kit right over the top of that, it will bond, and it'll look great.
And that is this week's Just Text Me.
Sponsored by iWantSmart.com. 9:41 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And let's see. Dorothy's in Oak Forest. Hi, Dorothy. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. You are the best. Anyway, I've had a skunk. I live in Oak Forest where there's a lot of woods. I've had a skunk smell in my home now for about 2 months. And, of course, with the humidity, it just enhances the smell. I cannot find where it's coming from. We did have a skunk spray here several months ago. I don't know what to do about the smell. I've used Fresh Wave. I've used bleach.
So when you walk around, is it just, in other words, if you're walking mostly around the neighborhood, are you smelling it too?
No. It's mostly in the back of my home where the stairs go down into the basement. And it's very strong right in that area.
Ooh. You think that skunk is hanging out there at night?
No. No, I have not seen one. And I've put my nose to the ground. I don't smell it. It's got to be in the walls, or if that's possible.
Okay, so you smell it in the, so you have a set of concrete stairs that head to the basement from the outside.
No, they're inside, but they're carpeted.
They're inside. Oh, this is inside the house where you smell it.
Inside the house where, yes, and it just permeates through the back of the house, where it's pretty nauseating.
Wow. Okay, and what's underneath those stairs?
A concrete foundation.
All right, so as far as you know, there's no skunk living in your house.
No.
But when you're in the basement in general, you don't smell it unless you're over by those stairs?
Right.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Right. I know.
Okay, let's do this. Let's manage the odor inside, and I want you to go with the FreshWave product. I want you to get a FreshWave candle.
I have that.
And let that run. Remember that you set the timer on your oven so you know you lit it, and put it down there to disperse that. Then spray that. There's a carpet shake. You said the carpeting is, you said the stairs are carpeted?
Just with a outdoor carpeting. Yeah.
Right, but sprinkle that all over that carpeting and let it sit there for a day before you vacuum it up.
Okay.
And then you said there's a concrete wall. The stairs run along a concrete wall. What's on the outside of that concrete wall?
The house.
Right. No, I know, but go check that area over there that maybe he or she is hanging out over there.
There's no smell out there.
There's no smell outside.
No.
It's just in the house.
Yes.
That makes no sense to me.
I know. It makes no sense to me either, unless is there any way possible there could be a dead skunk in there, but I don't know how they would have gotten in.
Yeah, all I can think of is the skunk must have sprayed the wall on the outside, and it's somehow permeating in right over there. So perhaps with the FreshWave spray as well on the outside wall, spray that as well to try and get that off, or maybe even take a hose and hose it down to kind of dilute over there. But if we're sure there's no skunk in your basement, then they must have sprayed the outside wall. Use the FreshWave on the inside, hose down the outside, and then spray that with FreshWave as well and see if that helps. That's a tough one to go just inside the steps. 9:45 in the morning. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Fran in Arlington Heights. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Lou. Oh, I love your show. I listen to you all the time.
How can I help you?
Okay. I know you can help me. I just don't know. I'm in a walk-up condo apartment on the second floor. I have a tiny little laundry room where the furnace and water heater and washer and dryer in.
Okay.
The furnace, the filter is, you slide it in right, and it's butt up between the hallway, like when you walk from the front of the apartment to the left, the back of the apartment.
Yeah.
Wall, and then inside the laundry room, right on the wall, is the opening where the filter, the fiberglass filter goes in, and then it's the furnace.
Okay.
So there's like no gap there. Anyway, I've been here almost 15 years, and there never was hardly anything on the fiberglass filter. And I've asked my years ago furnace man and the one I have today, they don't recommend cleaning the ductwork. But now, when I never had anything, the last month or two, I've got a lot of fluffy stuff, white and maybe a real pale gray of particles on the fiberglass. And I called my guy, and he says, oh, things are just breaking up. So now I'm paranoid thinking, do I have mold? And, of course, I called the neighborhood Ace Hardware. Yes, they have that healthful home thing. I heard it on the radio where you can get a spray.
Yeah.
And or you could get a testing kit.
Yeah.
And you would have to mail it away.
No. You're mixing up your things. So the Helpful Home people have a mold test that you can find out if you have mold in 5 minutes.
But how would I know how to do this?
Have you ever, are you familiar with a pregnancy test?
I know of it. I'm a grandmother.
But you're familiar with the pregnancy test. It's kind of like that. They give you all the things and you take a little swab. What are you laughing at? That's what it's like.
I just love
it. It's like a pregnancy test. It has a little thing that when you do a pregnancy test.
Pee on the stick.
Right. Well, you don't pee on anything. But you take the stick and you swab it, and then you put it into this little vial, and if the line comes up, you have mold. And if the line doesn't come up, you don't have mold. So that kit's $40, no mailing. You'll know in 5 minutes if you have mold or not. Secondly, I don't want you to listen to those yahoos. Get your ductwork cleaned. Breaking down, it could be the fact that there's insulation inside the ductwork that after 20 years or whatever it is, it starts to break down, and that's what you're seeing. But getting your ductwork cleaned is a good idea, in particular now that you're seeing stuff. And then thirdly, start upgrading your filters to pleated filters instead of the spun fiberglass. And if they tell you, lady, don't do that, that's bad for your furnace, they're not telling you the whole truth, because they'll easily sell you some fancy air filtration system that cuts more airflow than just those filters. If you do all those three things, you'll find out that you, A, yes or no, have mold, and then you go to the next level. But I bet you don't have mold. I bet what they said at breaking down makes sense. But get your ductwork cleaned, and you'll be happy. Trust me. Don't go away.
Happy trails.
Good job, Mike. Hey, it's time for our last call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Janet in Downers Grove, we could get Janet to sing. Janet, can you sing?
Me out to the ball game.
Keep going. Keep going.
Take me out to the crowd.
Come on, keep going.
Buy me some peanut cracker jacks. I don't care if I ever get back.
Get Tom Ricketts on the phone. I got it right here. Janet is going to come sing today. What time's the game today, Sam?
1:20. Janet, can you make it?
Come on. I don't know if I can get you in a ballpark. They don't take our calls anymore here.
We don't know if we can get you in, but you're in.
But we're in as far as I'm concerned. By the way, for being our last caller, I'm going to send you a 3-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. Visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. How can I help you, Janet?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm building a new house, so I'm not doing it myself. But I have someone building me a house in Downers Grove, and the original contractor had to be fired. But in the meantime, he had one of the guys.
Your phone, where are you? You go walk, go stand on your leg. I can't hear you.
Okay. Oh, how's it now?
Better.
So the original concrete porch that they poured with and four stairs is very defective. It has marks and cracks and all different textures. It's really dark. And the guy who did it is nowhere to be found. So I'm wondering if you have any solution to concrete.
Oh, my gosh, do I have the solution for you. And I just met with these guys, and I love them.
Oh, thank God.
Tintcrete. What's the website, Lindsay? Tintcrete. These guys have been making this product commercially for years. I met with these guys that made this product, and I said, you need to change. You got to tell people they've been making this product commercially since the 60s. And he showed me samples of this stuff where they put it down outside, where they've been running over it with a forklift for 8 years. I go, why aren't you telling people about this? And they have it.
Is that the one you had on the show?
Yes, tintcrete.com. They make it for old concrete and new concrete, which is to match the color. And it looks fantastic.
Okay.
Hold on so we can get your information so you can get your Executive Green carpet cleaning stuff. And by the way, make sure you keep WGN Radio on all weekend long. The girls are coming up at 10 o'clock. Then we've got the Wintrust Business Lunch with Amy Guth. John Williams coming up at 1. The Beat at 3 o'clock. And Then Amy Guth is back again with the Saturday Night Special. And by the way, if you're up late at night, have you ever listened to this whole WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari? It's awesome. Ladies, have you ever stayed up to hear the WGN
I can't
theater.
Stay up that late, but I would love to hear it.
I generally don't stay up that late, but I frequently wake up and listen to it. Right, and I'll wake up and think, is that Bob Hope?
I know. It's so that whole
is that Jack Benny?
Yeah, that whole classic you know, with the sound effects and everything is right. It's really fun to listen to.
It is, yeah. That's both nights. It's both Saturday and Sunday,
yeah,
right?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Cool.
How are you two?
We're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Mike's a bad hair day.
For you?
Well, I mean, I never knew that I would have these problems. Now it's all curly. It's very unmanageable.
Oh, it's not the same as the hair.
I don't know. I'm
kidding. Wouldn't that be funny if it turned out that the hair, new hair on top of your head
was
all
patch,
curly?
Was well, a patch of curls.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I had all these crazy questions that of course that only I would ask a question about, and I said, "Well, what happens? You know, like what about the color?" And they go, well, we just take the hair and put the hair up there. So I have gray on the side of my hair.
Okay.
And so as this hair comes in, it's a good chance that gray hair is now going to be on the top of my head that I never had. And when they put it up there, it's a chance that I could have a colic that I never had before.
Oh, uh-huh. That would be funny.
Right? I'm going to look like alfalfa.
Well, yeah, if it were different, you'd look like you had a piece on. It would look like you would look like Jeremy Piven.
I'll tell you.
Or John Cusack.
A hair follicle, once it's decided if it's curly, you know, when you're little, usually curly or straight.
Right.
I have a wave in the front of my hair.
Really?
That comes when humidity hits 70 degrees.
Oh, so right now we're calling
Kathy's
you waving.
Oh, Kathy's showing her wave.
I have a colic in the back, no matter what hairstyle I choose.
Right, and they're just so determined.
Now, Lou, do you have some place where you're doing a time lapse of your head? You should. No, I mean early
what's going to happen is, so this is the thing. You know, I'm going to own this whole thing with everybody. Right.
Right.
I'm
being very upfront
with
this. Right.
So right now, because my hair looks so good, I told you I'm using the sprinkly dust, the little pixie
dust.
Oh,
yeah, right.
But when you take that away, you can start to see the teeny tiny growth. And I think what they told me is you'll start to see it at 3 months. So I'm like a couple weeks away from there. So
okay.
It's starting. And I think then they're going to take some pictures. And then we'll put that up there. And then eventually it will take a full 12 months.
Look like Chaka Khan. Right?
I feel for you. Oh, yes, I feel for you.
And sound like
and
her.
And sound like her.
How did that happen?
That's right. All right. Goodbye.
All right, hon. Have a good one.
Bye.